from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We were going to do this segment last week, but obviously sometimes important stuff comes up on our show, like clouds and fog.
Dude.
Now.
Cloud fog was so much fun.
What changes would you like to see Luka make to his game or whatever else in the offseason? Because I feel like the number one thing I had, Mike, is probably already off the table, was not to play in the Olympic qualifiers. And then Nico was like, look, as long as he can, he's going to play in the Olympic qualifier.
I get it. And that's why we got to really root against Slovenia and just hope they lose in a hurry.
There's a video of him showing up to the Slovenia facility right
eating
now.
Eating dumplings and sausage.
No.
Slovenia way. We found that out.
We just got to see their recipe board.
Yeah. They like dough and they like sausage.
Oh, I love those things.
I will say this, and this is my, if I'm ranking them, number one is that he mentally stays focused with the game at hand.
Okay.
So there's a lot of other things too, and he's great. He is one of the best players in the game. But if he could figure out how to mentally stay in the game no matter what happens, and obviously we're talking about fouls or lack of fouls, whatever. If he could do that, I will live with a lot of the physical traits, and not a lot, but the few physical traits that I would like for him to get better at.
Can I add on to that?
Go ahead.
Because we think y'all are all against me is when he gets unfocused, right? Like, how did you not see that foul, you idiot? And I know I didn't foul on the other end, but how did you not see that foul on me? Maybe finding a new way to politic with, because I still want him to use that, to press them to make sure they're watching for fouls that are called against him. You have to get that. You have to demand that star power. But if he can find a new way to politic with them, not so much I'm berating you in front of everybody as much as let me find a way to be not your friend, but Kevin, we discussed the seminar where he gets to hear everything from him, and just finding another way to go about his politics for that.
Now, you guys have mentioned two mental things, which I think is probably the correct answer, but does anybody have more of a concern on the physical front in terms of being in shape?
Yeah.
Because that's something that it felt like, I don't know when, but at some point during the season, it started to slip some, which you would think like probably wouldn't happen in the middle of an NBA season. And I mean this before the injuries. I get it. If your knee, your ankle, and your chest are all busted up, it's going to be really hard to keep going.
I think you guys remember the show Inside the NBA with Hannah Storm and Ahmad Rashad, and I think they had a few other people that were on it. I think, if I remember this right, this is crazy.
Inside Stuff.
Thank you. I think that Stephon Marbury and Kevin Garnett, when they were on the Timberwolves, now remember, those were two very skinny guys. I think they were trying to consume 10,000 calories a day. 6,000 was the minimum, and they wanted them to consume. A normal diet is about 2,000 for a normal person. But because of the energy they're expending, because of how much they needed, that they were somewhere between 6,000 and 10,000 calories a day to try to keep their weight up. And I don't know this, but Luca has a body that wants to retain weight and put on weight. It just does. I hate saying this. I probably at 40 to 50 years old, Luca is going to be a 300-pound guy. His body wants to be 300 pounds. It is not easy for him to keep his weight down. His body wants to retain as much weight as possible. That's just the way his body was made. So it's very tough for him. We can see that he probably put on, I'm going to assume, 5 to 10 pounds during the season, which is very tough to do for an NBA basketball player. But his body wants to be heavy. And so it's very tough for him. I would like for him to lose 10 to 15 pounds. I would like for him to have a little bit better cardio. Now, sometimes body structure, we work too much on his body needs to look like Anthony Edwards. Well, Anthony Edwards' tongue was dragging on the carpet.
There's a difference between looking like you're in shape and actually being in shape.
Yeah, you can look like you're carved out of a mountain, like Jason Garrett used to say, but can you run all day?
And Dez Bryant couldn't, right? Because he used Dez Bryant as the example. He looks like he's in shape, but he's not. And so
Dalvin Harper was in shape.
Yeah. And so you look at it and go, yes, I would like for him to be on in more shape. Another thing that I will add to this is I would like for him to figure out how to play better off of the ball. But that also goes with cardio.
You just that was the number one thing I had on the list. Like I understand everything that you guys are. I understand everything that you guys are saying. And stop John with the refs is I put that on there. I'd like to see him start the season in better shape and hopefully remain there. I put that on there. I like him to not play for Slovenia in the qualifiers or the Olympics. I put that on there. But work more on his off-ball game just because I think that gives you so many more options. I mean, not I think. It definitely gives you so many more options with what you can do with this team, or maybe even what kind of player that you might be looking for. I'm not saying it drastically changes that, because obviously you think then Kyrie would be on the ball, a lot more. But it could change the options of players that you could even look at.
Yes, and then I want to add this as an extra to especially like, people know who Ryan Dries is, I think, pitched for the Texas Rangers. He's a big Golden State Warriors fan, and that's where he grew up. He grew up in the Bay Area, and he will always rag on my guy, Luka. I get it. And he's like, he dribbles forever, this and that. And I get it because he loves Golden State Warriors basketball. He has to work off the ball more. I can agree with you on that, Ryan Dries and other people, and I would like for him to do that. But you have to understand, have you seen P.J. Washington and Derrick Jones Jr. and Daniel Gafford? Have you seen these guys handle the basketball, dribbling and passing? It's at a very low level. Kyrie's at a very high level. Josh Green is at an inconsistent level. Jaden Hardy is at a below average level for his size and his position that he's at. So we want this, but I also have to then, Luka would push back on this, and I'd say, you're right also. You want me to give the ball to Derrick Jones Jr., you want me to work off the ball hard, and you think he's going to hit me on a back cut? You think he's going to hit me off of that pick perfectly where I get the ball in the pocket I need to make a great decision? He can't do it. PJ Washington is okay at it. So that's the other thing, too, is I think they both go hand in hand. Not that I want to get rid of a lot of players on the Mavs. I don't. But there's a lot of players, when you give Maxi Kleba the ball, he has no clue how to actually make a decent pass. He's just looking to either shoot it or get rid of the ball.
And Kyrie's the other option on that, right? Like, he's the
in terms of being the most, on the ball. Yeah,
he's the only real. And if you had like a Spencer Dinwiddie, you felt like you probably could do that, but you don't have that kind of guy right now. So I'm trying to find another way. But Kyrie, it all oftentimes felt like once Kyrie got the ball, either he was scoring or he was finding somebody else on a lob. He wasn't going back to Luka as frequently.
I think that could be helpful, because one of the things that I think became a little bit of a frustration in the postseason with Kyrie is it felt he was kind of disjointed from the offense.
Yes.
It was either just give him the ball and let him go for what he knows, or, you know, nothing, right? And so you wanted, I think you would want to marry him even more into the offense. And I think having Luka be more comfortable off the ball would allow him to be more involved, get going better within the flow of the offense, as opposed to just, hey, get yours in the flow of the offense. And then when Luka sits, then you can really be your full self. I think that that could be helpful.
I mean, look, it feels impossible to argue against that. So then my next question is, I hear all of these suggestions and I appreciate all of them. What do you think is the most reasonable to least reasonable? Because, like, I think we've got a lot of great suggestions. They're not all going to happen because that feels like an impossible amount of change for a human in an off season. Which one of these is most reasonable?
Well, I'll tell you one that we didn't name that I think is most reasonable is that you become a better free throw shooter.
Okay.
That's very
reasonable.
That's
easy. Yeah. To me, that is the, not that you're going to be 100% or even 90%. To me, that's the easiest thing. But I'll tell you what, LeBron has never cared about being a good free throw shooter. And to me, that's a, like, LeBron is so talented. You can't shoot 82, 83%. You can't even shoot close to that.
This was his career high by a good bit, but only 78.6 for Luka. 78.6%. His previous high, 75.8.
How many times, and I know that they lost, they won more than they lost in the playoffs. How many times did we come and go, God, the free throw shooting? And some of it was led by Luka being a 50% free throw shooter in playoff games. So to me, that's the easiest. The most difficult is his brain.
Yeah, and I'll honestly say another difficult one is the physical part of it, because he won't give himself the opportunity to rest. That's a big factor. Whenever you have the opportunity to rest, you can. How many times do you see guys that are in better shape, like better conditioning after an injury, because they were doing so much work while they were trying to recover from the injury? And right now, his body's still beat up, and he's about to go play, and that's how he's going to, he's not going to recover. He's not going to get better from it. So that's, that seems like an unreasonable thing to ask right now, Kevin, because he can't have an off season to just go work out.
And I was goofing about his diet, but if he's going to immediately play now, so his body's banged up, but he's immediately going to go play in high competition where he has to be the best player on the court by far, in a Slovenia versus whoever matchup, he can't change his diet to, like, right now I'm going to cut down on carbs, I'm going to cut down on sugars. He's going to be like, I have to eat, I'm not, I don't know what he eats before games, but I have to eat this before games to feel like I have the energy to play 40 minutes. And I'm sure there's quite a few carbs in that diet to make sure that you can play an NBA basketball or an Olympic qualifying or an Olympic basketball game. So he can't change his diet at all during this Olympic stuff.
Yeah, and that physical part of it, if we're also going to say, hey, don't be a hole on defense, he's got to work on footwork. He's got to work on execution of defense and commitment to that. Now, again, regular season, I don't really care that much. Most of the league doesn't care that much. It's not like they're going to say, you know what, we're hunting Luka tonight all night. But whenever it comes to playoff time, that's going to have to be a factor. So I would say, yes, reasonable free throw shooting. I think if you take the time to go see a monk and then just sit down and meditate a little with yourself, then maybe you can come at peace, Kevin, with the mental aspect of it.
Well, I guess that'd be Donnie Cockstein.
He's not going to give him. Yeah, maybe he does need somebody to have that.
Well,
kind
he's
of
on the Mavs staff as I guess the monk.
But do you think that Luka's reaching out to him? I don't know.
I don't know
about that part of it.
I'm really fascinated by the free throw thing. I decided to look that up when you were talking about LeBron. Never shot better than 78% free throws in a season. Michael Jordan, the worst season he ever had was 78.4, and I believe that was one of two seasons he was not in the 80s, and usually about mid-80s. I just think about, and I'm not trying to compare just those two, I was just curious, how many points you leave out there? Because Luka, we said, by far career high this year, 78.6%. How many points you leave out there every season?
I've always thought it's weird how much he complains about not getting the call when he's not a consistent free throw shooter.
Yeah, that
like
is.
I think one of the reasons Shaq didn't complain, I think number one was, his father that raised him, not as biological as he said in his rap videos.
Yeah.
But I think that too is like, I don't want to complain too much because I'm not crazy about going to this free throw line.
And for what feels like the, I don't know, fourth or fifth straight year, Luka will be the preseason MVP favorite. at least as of now.
But this year feels different, right?
Yes. This year, are you saying this year feels more earned that he's the favorite as opposed to last year?
I don't even know if it's like more earned, although you could take it that way. It's just, it felt like kind of a tease in years past where you're like, yeah, but when we get to when it really matters, you're not going to feel the same way.
Yeah.
This year definitely feels like he's going to actually be in contention in a real way.
And that's what I think as well. He is the leader followed by Jokic. And then there's a pretty good little drop down to Shea, Giannis, Embiid, Anthony Edwards, the normal people you would think of in that group.
Corey, that's your bet right there. If Anthony Edwards is sixth.
Yeah, okay. And on this list, he is at 12 to 1.
Let's go. Let's do it.
We're the KNC Masterpiece.
You and Micah Parsons, huh?
Right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Never let me.
Coming up next, it's time for Wanker of the Weekend. Who was the best at being the worst this weekend? And why was it the Edmonton Oilers? I'm just kidding. It was the Panthers. We'll do it next right here on The Fan.
Barkov had it, lost it. We've got an empty net. Ryan McLeod to seal it. Backhander, score! There will be a Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final. Monday night at Sunrise. Edmonton 4, Florida 1.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, and it's time for Wanker of the Weekend. Who was the best at being the worst this weekend? And why is it going to turn out to potentially be the Florida Panthers and or us or me? Because Edmonton is on the verge of achieving something pretty historic as they have forced Game 7 tonight. Not only that, they have whooped Florida's ass in these games. Now, I realize one was like 8-1, but they have outscored Florida 18-5 in these last three games to force Game 7 tonight.
18 goals?
Exactly.
Is that good?
In hockey?
I mean, for them.
Okay.
For Florida, no.
Do you think this would have inspired the Mavs if this would have been game 5 tonight for the Mavs?
Or yes! Last night?
Do you think that would have inspired them to... I'm not saying they gave up in Boston. It was too much to overcome. But do you think this would have been a big inspiration for probably basketball players who pay about 0% attention to hockey? But they would have been like, hey... The Stanley Cup has gotten
Why can't we?
I don't know.
Why not us?
Yeah. But.
Yeah, Kevin, you've talked a lot of trash.
I have.
And I've been right there with you because it's a pretty committed lifestyle that hockey's had here. And.
I like that description. To Canada not winning
for a long time. And now it's. But that being said, here's what I think our argument can be against, because that one texter does definitely have receipts on this.
Yeah, it's
something historic. Like, this is, as Razor says, a Mastodonian effort by Edmonton to do something like this. Mastodonic? I don't know.
Ooh.
But this is something like...
Mastodonchich.
Okay, I like that too.
Luka Doncic.
This is something that you would never bet in a million years that would happen. So, yeah, it took something that big to overcome Canada losing for 30 years.
Now, the only championship that has ever been won, the only final real championship that has ever been won in this fashion was in 1942 in the Stanley Cup. This has happened once in baseball in the ALCS, and it's happened three other times in hockey. But with the Stanley Cup on the line, it only happened in 1942. And even then, are we sure?
Nobody knows.
Isn't that when Columbus sailed?
No.
Ask Mike.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay.
When did Columbus sail the ocean blue?
1942.
See, there you go. We just told you.
So
it's right before Jackie Robinson.
That's why he sailed actually, ocean blue. He was like, man, before I gotta Jackie see this Robinson. Jackie Robinson.
Yeah. I tell you what, man. Negro leagues are awesome, and I'm hearing these rumors that possibly they're going to allow like those players to play, and then 47, you get Jackie, and everything starts changing.
All because of Columbus? Is that what we're saying?
I don't know. Something like that.
It doesn't feel right, but okay.
Tell me how to feel.
Does this make you any more interested in Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final than you would be if it was just like, oh, it's been back and forth the whole way?
Oh, yeah, I think so.
You think so?
For me, obviously.
Casual hockey fans should be.
I'm in a great position tonight. And that means that I am doing pregame on television for the Rangers.
Yeah.
They have four TVs in one room.
Oh.
So we can have the Ranger Milwaukee game on. We can have A&M and Tennessee on. And we can have the Stanley Cup Finals on. Because this is the seventh game. It should be plural. They've played more than one game.
Okay.
I told you earlier, Kevin, this is a two TV night, which has now turned into a three TV and a radio night. So, like, there's lots of stuff going on. But, yes, casual hockey fans that are kind of like, hold on, what's going on? This is, you are going to see high-level hockey. Two teams, everything on the line, no other option to turn around from.
Must and win, Kevin.
Yes, this is exactly what you're asking for, man. You want game seven in hockey.
I believe, too, when this happened in 1942, there was only seven teams in the NHL, and six of them made the playoffs.
Really?
So, that one team had to feel like dirt.
Yeah, that's true. And so the comeback also included one of those really terrible teams.
Can you name all of the teams in 1941, 1942 teams?
I'm going to call one of them
the Red Wings.
Call right. Another one Kevin.
The Maple Leafs.
Blackhawks. Yep.
The Rangers.
Mike got one right,
Blackhawks, too. Blackhawks. The Rangers.
Yep.
Did we already say the Red Wings? Yeah, we did.
Would Edmonton have been there? Or is that too west?
I can figure this out. There's another Canadian. The Calgary Flames?
No.
No. Son of a bitch.
That doesn't sound like a long time name. The Oilers sound like a long time ago.
What do you call people from Canada?
Canadians.
Vancouver Canucks.
Oh.
Montreal Canadiens.
The Canadiens.
Oh.
I know that.
The fact that Mike got that.
Not wrong.
So stupid.
However.
Kevin, I am so stupid.
The Toronto Maple Leafs, the New York Rangers, the Montreal Canadiens, the Detroit Red Wings.
Boston Bruins.
Chicago Blackhawks.
Boston Bruins.
The Boston Bruins. And the Brooklyn Americans, or Americans,
if you want to. Do you think we did that in direct retaliation to the Montreal Canadiens?
Must have.
Man, I feel really stupid because I was like, what do we call people from Canada?
Are we going to say Canada?
Canada, yeah. So, hey, look, it's historic. And what I just did is no dumber than the playoff format they used to have in 1942.
Facts.
Now, other wankers of the weekend. This one pains me. FC Dallas.
What happened? They played soccer.
They did, and they are still terrible at holding a lead. They were up 2-0.
Good.
Going into the 78th minute.
Although I have heard that is the most dangerous lead.
I've been told that too.
I hate that saying so much.
It's true, though. Look what happened.
Yeah. Go ahead and finish the story, Kevin.
In this instance, they're definitely right. Because I always, Mike, you're with me on this. I know you're not a huge soccer guy. But whenever a soccer coach tells...
I'm more a football guy.
What was that word again?
Football. Whenever
football.
Whenever a coach would say...
Why does he turn into the guy on a pizza box?
I don't know.
Hey, it's a football.
It's a football.
Hey, it's a U and a O.
What?
No idea.
F-U-T-B-O-L?
Oh, he said a U and an O. Okay.
Isn't that how you spell it in football?
All right.
Whenever a coach would say 2-0 is the most dangerous lead in soccer, I would always be like, is it more dangerous than 1-0? That feels like a way more dangerous lead.
Yes, because whenever it's 2-0, your team starts to ease up. When it's 1-0, they're like, hey, okay, look, we got a battle here.
Yeah, you have an insurance goal, but as we are learning, insurance, not as dependable as you think.
Well,
yeah.
But if you, okay, let's say you're lax.
Boy, that is true.
And they score a goal, then it's 2-1. You're still ahead. If you screw around and you're up 1-0, never mind. That was my fault for going down.
That was a joke for 3 years.
I hate this show. All right.
I'm a wanker.
All right.
Can we finish this story first and then you can wanker away?
It felt over.
What? Don't do that here.
Didn't it feel over?
It felt like
because you two jackholes are like, hey, you know what? Right. What about football?
Don't forget, continue your wanker.
FC Dallas was ahead 2-0. Seattle scored in the 78th minute.
Oh, man, that stinks.
And then again in the 89th minute to tie the match.
No.
And then again 4 minutes into injury time, Dallas lost 3-2 in a game.
Whoa. Extra time. Not injury time. Am I right?
I think it's stoppage time.
They're kind of used interchangeably.
They call it injury time? I always thought it's called extra time.
What's stoppage?
Like extra innings.
It's all the same thing, right? The idea is if somebody gets injured during the course of the match, if there's, you know, just to kind of accommodate for the stoppages in play.
Well, as a show, we need to decide which one we're going to call it instead of everybody having different ones.
No, I kind of like everybody having their own signature.
If your pitcher gets hurt in the third inning, but you have to use an extra pitcher because of the injury time.
Stoppage
pitching. They should allow you to have you lose 4-3. You're like, no, it doesn't count. We need a 10th inning because we need injury time. Yeah, we thought we were going to have this pitcher longer and we didn't.
All right. Mike, I will now cede the floor to you.
All right. I'm a wanker.
This is going to be so yeah, girl.
Oh, yeah, boy. I forgot about that.
So many people thanks, this Kelly weekend Stafford. Were saying that to me.
That's my new deal. Oh, yeah, boy.
I'm telling you, that should be a bigger deal than the Hawk Tui girl.
Oh,
the
man.
Kelly Stafford right
What'd
there.
What'd you say?
No, I'm not doing it. Back to you guys.
In Omaha, Nebraska, they built two new stadiums. There is for the Omaha Storm Chasers, which is the AAA team for the Kansas City Royals. They have a whole nother stadium than the stadium they play the College World Series in. They have two premium stadiums that they've built like in the last 15 years.
Huh.
So Rosenblatt is dead and gone. But they have Charles Schwab Field in Omaha, which is where the College World Series is played. Plus, Creighton uses that as their baseball field during the college season.
Okay.
And then they have Warner Field, which is used for AAA baseball. So they never, because I was like, wait a second. During the College World Series, the Omaha AAA team / Storm Chasers played. And they're like, I looked it up and I was like, I'm a wanker. I thought that, you know, back when they had Rosenblatt, that's where AAA was played and that's where the College World Series was played. But Omaha just rolling in the dough with all the corn they're making or something is
in the furniture.
Yeah, because they're the Corn Huskers
in
that state. Mm. So I'm assuming corn's their major product of growth.
Oh, it absolutely is, yes.
Hold on. You assume state's major products are based off their college mascot?
Yeah, obviously I was selling a lot of Hawks.
Texas is selling.
Maybe just the
Texas
eyes.
Sells a lot of Longhorns.
Two for one.
And Aggies.
One Hawk, two eyes.
And Horned Frogs.
Yep.
Yeah, so in Fort Worth, that's where they're making their money. Obviously, in Austin, they're making it off of Longhorns.
Especially in Denton, there's a lot of Mean Green, baby. You know what I'm talking about, Kevin?
I do. God help me, I do. And so in California, their primary export is the Golden Bear.
Yeah, or condoms.
Because of the USC Trojan.
Right?
I'm just going to walk down the Spittles office.
There's not any more Trojans. There's not. Trojans were like a long time ago, so now we're just going with the most recent Trojans.
Yeah, like Troy isn't still around, right?
Right.
I don't know. He got a
it's
job
not.
Somewhere.
They got he
from
got
the
hit.
Morning show?
No, he got hit in the Achilles.
Oh, you're
that was Achilles. Oh. Troy was the city.
I think that was the same movie. They are similar movies, right?
Look.
And now the wanker of the weekend is us.
I'm pretty sure I
so
said.
So there's two stadiums in Omaha. Who would have ever known?
From the 972, after the cloud debate, KNC needs stoppage
this
time.
This is stoppage time. Like, I feel like the clock should have stopped at 32.
So does that mean we go to like 205?
I guess we probably should. Right. Good news, G-Bag. You can start your show 5 minutes later today.
I'm done being a champion. Okay. I mean, I'm done being a wanker.
I want to thank you guys again for making this show so popular.
Extremely
Me
popular.
Personally? Don't care for this show, but I like that you guys really,
Hold
really
on,
do.
You're saying you wouldn't listen to this show if you had a choice?
I feel like
we give you so much education. We taught you last week that fog is a cloud.
Yeah, you learned that from us.
You didn't believe it, but then we looked it up. Fog's a cloud.
Uh-huh.
We did.
We taught you about whales and how they breathe.
Yeah.
So you've learned a lot from us.
I just taught you about Omaha and their corn and their stadiums, multiple. If it was in hockey, they would call it one stadium. Mm-hmm. Even though there's two.
Mm-hmm. I was also going to tell you that Giancarlo Stanton is back on the IL again for the eighth time in 6 seasons.
And guess what? I also woke up today.
And the Wings have now lost 11 straight.
No, don't forget. They lost back-to-back games to the previous worst team in the league. This is a terrible season.
Okay, see, you get it.
There's always next year.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next. It's time for Gridiron Gravy. Does Dallas have one of the most physical cornerbacks in the league? Let's do it next right here on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jordan Lewis. What a play by Lewis. Yanked it right out of his hands.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 through the fans. Scotty Barnes. With the Raptors getting his rookie max extension, 5 years, $270 million. Good day to be a Scotty. Now it's time to go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy.
Yep.
Do you think this is a fake name? Packers have hired their new chairman, president, and CEO. His name is Ed Policy.
That's wonderful.
Like education policy?
Do you think his assistant is Steve Document? Or
probably.
Or something along those lines.
Yeah. I always thought Carmen Policy was a weird.
Yeah.
He was the GM or owner for San Francisco.
Yeah.
And then the Browns, I think, for a little bit. I always was like, hold on. What is the Carmen Policy? I didn't understand it at the time. So maybe related, Kevin.
I could be. Carmen. I'm interested to see how Ed Policy does. Now let's go to the Kansas City Chiefs, where they have had a just remarkably terrible offseason off the field. They went ahead and cut Isaiah Buggs today. As you recall, because we've been talking about this for a while, first involved...
Hookah man, right?
Yes. First involved with the alleged mistreatment of two dogs that he said he didn't even know were on the property, and that he was being framed because he would not sell his hookah bar. And then remember, now he's being accused of domestic violence and second degree burglary after he broke into the apartment of the mother of his child with a crowbar and dragged her down the stairs.
Problems.
That doesn't sound good.
Lots of problems for that guy.
He'll now be a free agent. Good luck with that.
Well, there's zero tolerance for that, Kevin. So
yeah, my ass. Look, they might suspend him, but there's not zero tolerance for this in the NFL, or else we would be like, well, pending the result, it still has to pend the result of the trial, then you'd be like, you're out. But
yes,
that's not what's going to happen. I'm not saying he's going to get picked back up, but the NFL is not going to banish him for life for this.
From the 901, why haven't they cut Rice yet?
Because he's better. Look, it's just a fact. He was a first-round pick. Buggs was a fifth or sixth round pick, I want to say. So it's just the fact that he's better that they're
if you're a punter.
Yeah. And he is now getting another shot after it looks like he was completely vindicated, or he was completely vindicated. He'll get another shot. But yeah, Rashee Rice is too good for them to be like, ooh, we can't let him go.
That's true.
It's an interesting... interesting system. It's not just sports. I think other jobs work like this too.
It's interesting.
Are you doing the win horse thing?
Yeah, you have to be watching on the YouTube or Twitch.
As you definitely should be. All right, let's go from that to the Dallas Cowboys. Who do you think, is there somebody who jumps to mind that is the most physical cornerback in the NFL?
Most physical cornerback in the NFL.
Bobby Taylor in the 90s.
In the current NFL.
Don't know.
AJ Terrell tops the list.
Okay, I can
still
see
with
that.
The Falcons, right?
Yes, yeah. That is correct.
I think Joey Porter Jr. probably very physical too.
Joey, are you just doing that because his pops?
No, just watching. Right. Dude, he was playing against Pickens in those preseason matchups, and they were going at it with each other. And that carried over throughout the season too.
Now, this basically from Pro Football Focus is it breaks down defenders on their rate of making contact with a route running receiver last year. So AJ Terrell tops the list, or Terrell if you're fancy. You just mentioned Joey Porter Jr. He's third. Michael Davis with the Commanders, fourth. Legarius Sneed is, Michael Davis is second. Legarius Sneed, fourth on the list. But I want to run down the list just a little bit. Number eight on the list is Jordan Lewis.
Yes.
Physical contact on 29.5% of the routes that he was involved in.
When you say this is pre-throw?
Yes.
Okay, all right.
Do you think of him as a physical player? And then we'll get to the other
part. Yes, I do.
Okay.
One of the reasons he gets hurt, too. He plays a physical style, and he's kind of undersized at the position, if you will. But he's playing slot, so you have to get some sort of advantage in the slot somehow. It means get your hands up on that dude really quickly. To kind of throw him off of his route before the five yards so you can not lose too much space. So yeah, if you're playing what Jordan Lewis is doing, you have to be physical there.
Now, does it make a difference?
And he also post throw, he doesn't make a lot of business decisions. He'll put his nose in there. That's one of the things I love about him.
Yeah, it definitely showed up in juxtaposition because there was a lot of questions and concerns about like when Trayvon Diggs and those types of things. You definitely saw like, oh, he's willing to go and do that.
Does it make a difference if you don't see the results from that? So for example, just last year, Jordan Lewis allowed a completion rate of 63.2% and a passer rating of 116, and he gave up a first down or touchdown on 37% of his targets.
Well, that's tough, man. Slot's the most difficult place to play. I wouldn't want to do it, but that's that dude. You know how often you're like, I want somebody to want the ball right now.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, I'm willing to do this job, and it stinks, it sucks, but I'm willing to do it. And you very rarely have a lot of safety help along with it, too. Yeah, I see where you're going with that, too. I wonder the best slot cornerbacks, what their numbers are regarding that.
Yeah, just in terms of slot cornerbacks. I could probably do a further breakdown of that. Let's go from that to public funding. Now, we've talked about how Kansas is trying to make a big push for both the Kansas City Chiefs and the Kansas City Royals to get them away from Missouri tonight. The Charlotte City Council is expected to approve $650 million in stadium renovations for the Panthers. That's expected to go down tonight. And I could see it.
With that quarterback?
Man.
Did you see the picture he worked out with CJ Stroud and I can't remember the other quarterback. I'm son of a gun.
I'm assuming he looked really tight.
Oh, my gosh. You're like, oh, yeah, there's a slot receiver working out with those two quarterbacks.
But it was, in fact,
I've not seen it.
Quarterback.
Somebody sent me. I don't know if somebody sent me the picture. It just popped up on my Twitter. But it was like CJ Stroud, some other premium prospect quarterback, and Bryce Young, who is a premium prospect quarterback. But when you saw, it was Jaden Daniels, LSU.
Okay. Oh yeah.
So it was a picture of those three guys, and you're like, yeah, there's the slot receiver working with the two quarterbacks.
That's interesting. I actually have a kind of a transition for that. Terry McLaurin, your guy, was talking with talking about Jaden Daniels and said that kid loves ball and just has a really good feel for the game. I don't know what you take out of quotes like that at first. It's definitely a positive quote. I don't think he's going to come out and be like, yeah, I kind of feel like we made a mistake. But still, if you're a Washington fan, you have to be encouraged by that.
The McLaurin has had such garbage at quarterback, his entire career that I think he sees, there's a bright future for this. There's a lot of work that still needs to be done. But man, Daniels has some really fun receivers to throw to this year. I'm very interested in how his growth comes along, because there's so many different question marks on who he is as a quarterback. But it's nice to hear that from McLaurin, because I'd like to see some competition from that team.
Now,
not really, I guess.
What?
Well, we might talk about it a little more, Kevin, in the C block today.
Oh, my gosh.
You're going hog wild, huh?
No, I'm not.
Hey.
But there's some stuff happening. Man. There's some stuff happening,
Kevin. Can't handle another person on the show defecting over
there's
to
some
a different
stuff. No, I'm not
team.
Leaving to go to another team.
Yeah, don't do that.
I'm a huge Steelers fan.
Now, you're talking about yourself. Okay.
The books are not afraid of Jaden Daniels winning Rookie of the Year. The betting books. Okay. Not just books as an abstract concept. Books are concerned that Bo Nix will win Offensive Rookie of the Year. He is currently 18-1.
With Denver.
That is correct. And multiple sports books have said that's their biggest liability on the board. You know how we've talked about it? It's like they would love all the bets to balance out where it really
makes sense. Because of Sean Payton?
I think so.
I could see that. Or maybe just because their crap situation, they're like, well, he's likely to get in there quickly. And people love good odds. Because like Caleb Williams is 1.35-1.
Mm-hmm.
Bo Nix is 18-1.
Okay, yeah,
so
that makes
like,
sense.
Take a little bit of a risk
at a smaller number. I gotcha.
Yeah.
I'll ask Mike all the football questions. Who's more likely to win their division, Denver or Washington?
Oh, man.
Washington. I don't like saying that. I think it is Washington.
Yeah, it's an underdog. They're both underdogs. But Bo Nix versus Jaden Daniels.
Denver played the Chiefs well last year, though. Okay. I'm going to say Denver.
All right.
In your face, Kevin.
Oh, I mean, that's okay. I'm curious to see what the Chargers do in the world this year. So, yeah. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, the return and that rockin' bat of Wyatt Langford. We'll do it next right here on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.